Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Inching closer and closer to Thursday's Thanksgiving Day matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Dallas Cowboys. It is the holiday season. Comes with the territory of weeks like this. You get a lot of fill-ins. No Cody, no Alex on this morning's program. Logan Weber here with you. Drew is in producing today's program. We'll be with you tomorrow as well.
No days off for me,
Logan. No days off. No. Now, Drew's a workaholic, in case you weren't aware. This man has a strong work ethic. He knows better than to take these days off. Cody and Alex, you know, getting softer in their age. I don't know what you want to call
it. And I'm the one that was in an accident. You know, come on now.
Unbelievable. So is the plan to head to Indy to see the family at some point, or is the Thanksgiving holiday going to be had in the metro?
Thanksgiving is here. The wife and I are hanging out, and we are just going to make some food for ourselves. So it's simple and easy.
Hell yeah, man. Why not? I mean, my wife and I, we do Thanksgiving with her family on Thanksgiving Day, and then we'll do like, I think we're doing like a fish fry or like a Ooh. Shrimp thing with my family on Friday.
Okay.
Should be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. We're also looking forward to Chiefs football on Thursday, hopefully, with the Chiefs playing the Cowboys. And a little unorthodox, we're going to bring in our first guest of the program with us right now.
Let's
we're going to
go.
Have Nate Taylor on with us for the entirety of the first hour of this morning's program. Of course, Nate, the Chiefs beat writer for ESPN. And, you know, Nate, I'm curious because I know that there's been complaints over the last couple of years of the Chiefs winning games, but they're winning ugly. I'm not hearing a lot of that this week because for the first time this season, the Kansas City Chiefs were able to do just that, and that's win a game ugly rather than losing all these one-score games.
It's hello, by the way.
What's up?
Happy early Thanksgiving, people. The Chiefs, I don't know if they turned the switch on, but man, that fourth quarter was very reminiscent of like what the team did in 2021, right? After a, you know, slump in the midpoint in the season, and they got their act together. And as we all know, they at least reached the AFC Championship game. So it appears to be a pivotal point in the season. You know, them just completely dominating the Colts when they had to in the fourth quarter and overtime. And, you know, as much as I think people are relieved by them winning, as you said, they got to do this again on Thursday on the road against, an interesting, if anything, Cowboys team. But, yeah, you're not going to hear that many complaints because it's like they handed the ball to Kareem Hunt 30 times. Like, finally, you know, with the season on the line, it's like, oh, they actually had a more balanced offense, and that eventually wore down the Colts. I think there is some cumulative effect that people, I understand, they have a great feeling about, hey, if we just run the ball, we could get, you know, those third and shorts, or hey, we could put ourselves in more favorable down and distances. But also it wears out the defense because you're on the field for 42 minutes. And so the Colts being on the field constantly did them a good bit of service in the fourth quarter and overtime.
Yeah, something to the – we had to listen in every press conference that we were sitting in last week, the term hard runs coming out over and over and over. Hey, we finally got an opportunity to see that on Sunday with Kareem Hunt getting a ridiculous number of touches. I have to hope that that man is going to be in good enough shape on Thursday because he got a workload on Sunday.
We'll see how he does today at practice, right? I would not give him a ton of work, to your point. There's a feeling that, you know, Kareem could have always done this, and it was about Andy trying to manage him over the course of the season, especially once you didn't have Isaiah Pacheco, who's, you know, who was injured with the knee injury after the win against the Commanders. So they wanted to develop Rashard Smith, but they never want to give him the ball to actually run, you know, to actually play the position he plays. So they were sort of like, I understood, like, okay, you know, if you don't want to give him the ball against the Buffalo Bills, I can kind of understand that because you do have the bye week. You want to make sure that, like, he's as fresh as possible for the stretch run. But then, of course, it's like, but then you didn't give him the ball against the Denver Broncos. Yeah. So what was that? And so now they've pushed their chips all in on him. And the belief has to be that he's going to have to split more touches with Isaiah Pacheco, who is, you know, clearing to, or should say ramping up to play Thursday, because they need him more than ever now, because Kareem Hunt, you know, didn't even come close to talking to reporters, guys. That's how much he was like beat up. He was like, no, I can't even open my mouth right now, guys. Just like more ice, more ibuprofen, more massages. Like it's going to be fascinating to see like how many guys practice, even what the practice regimen is today. Like you'd almost want to do it more like a walkthrough because that was such a physical demanding game for five quarters. And now you got to go on the road and do it again. So all credit to Kareem Hunt for willing himself to get over 100 yards, by the way. No one had 100 rushing yards on the team all year until Sunday. It took 30 attempts, but congratulations, boys. We reached the 100 yard milestone. Excited to see how they figure this all out, which I think will put a little bit more of the burden on Mahomes because hey, you can't give Kareem Hunt maybe even 20 carries on Thursday's game.
Yeah, and is that any sort of a concern? Because, you know, you and I had a conversation after the game Sunday that Mahomes appeared a little bit uncomfortable, like some sort of groin issue
or something. It's a
groin. So he's definitely banged up himself, but that's a lot of the team right now, it seems like.
Yeah, so if you need to be reminded, ladies and gentlemen, why we should not play games on a Thursday, even though I love Thanksgiving and the tradition of it all, it's like, Patrick Mahomes is dealing with a groin injury, right? Rashee Rice wisely chose not to get tackled because he's dealing with his own hamstring injury. They are essentially like making Xavier Worthy C-3PO. They're just putting him back together every week. Hey, what is it this time? It's the ankle?
Cool. Yeah, multiple times on Sunday. It felt like coming off the sideline, throwing his helmet, just another layer of tape.
Yeah, like, can we, like he's literally C-3PO right now. And they're just like, no, just get his wires right. He'll be fine. He's got the shoulder. He's got the ankle, of course. You know, Trey Smith is probably not going to play in this game. It would not be wise for the Chiefs to play him, given his own right ankle injury at this point. So you have to, you know, insert Mike Caliendo into the lineup. Juwan Taylor still dealing with his knee injury, even though he played actually pretty well in the second half of the game. This is just on offense. So, you know, the Chiefs put out this, you know, Ricky Dink, you know, estimation, you know, report for an injury. But one of the biggest, I guess, revelations from that is Leo Chenault has a knee injury. Mm. And so, not great. Noah Gray, as we all know, he has a concussion. He will not play on Thursday. The league has basically made it virtually impossible for you to enter the concussion protocol on a Sunday game and then come back for a Thursday game. So that means you're going to see, you know, a little bit more of Robert Tonyan in that 12 personnel look. But, dog, I mean, they got injuries, and so do the Cowboys. They have their share for injuries as well. But if I'm Andy Reid, like, can we make this a walkthrough and we just – like, hey, here's the game plan. Here's some, you know, here's some wrinkles we're going to do for the Cowboys. But I don't think you can go it at like even half speed today just to get the guys' bodies as recovered as possible for Thursday's game.
Yeah, and you know, going back to the running back situation, of course, the Chiefs made an interesting move after the game on Sunday. They signed Damian Pierce from the Houston Texans, put him on the practice squad, obviously.
Yep.
I have my opinion on what he's going to look like in a Chiefs jersey this year. Hint, hint, you won't see him in one, most likely. But okay. From your perspective, with the injuries to Kareem Hunt, Pacheco with the MCL sprain, it doesn't seem like they want to involve Breshard Smith or Elijah Mitchell in the running game. Do you think there's a possibility we could see at least a decent chunk of Damian Pierce at any point in this regular season?
So my own father called me. My dad, Michael Taylor, called me last night because he was like, so is Elijah Mitchell done? And I was like, well, why would you sign why would you sign Pierce? Why would you do that? Now look, there's reports that like, hey, in terms of the Pierce sweepstakes, there was multiple teams who were like, hey, we'll kick the tires, we'll take a flyer. He knows that his former team is potentially the first game he could come back and play on December 7th against the Houston Texans. Now, if that happens, if he's in uniform, it'll be a limited role. I reported that last night. The more likelihood is, could we see Pierce in the last 3 to 4 weeks of the season? So that puts you right in line with, and again, some of this is playbook, some of this is pass protection. Like, hey, are you not just going to like make a mental mistake because, you know, we rushed you on the field sooner rather than later? Even though you're a veteran, maybe the Chargers on December 14th. If not, then get right against the Tennessee Titans on, you know, right before Christmas on December 21st. I mean, come on. Unless Isaiah Pacheco comes back and is, like, above average, like, better than what we saw even at long stretches before the knee injury. I mean, again, to my dad's credit, they're like, they got it, like, they're going to play him, right? Like, they didn't sign him to just, like, you know, do another Elijah Mitchell thing, right? And I was like, well, I hope not, because I just think – I don't know why the Elijah Mitchell signing didn't work out, because he's not been injured. At least Christian Fulton was injured in training camp, was coming off a, you know, minor knee procedure. Doesn't appear that that's really helped him. And, of course – he didn't get the necessary reps that Steve Spagnuolo would want. So it makes sense where, hey, he was a guy that was supposed to be a starter. It hasn't worked out. Okay, bad signing, but it makes sense. I don't know why the one time they played Elijah Mitchell, they didn't even give him the ball. Just like, what are we doing? So for Pierce, the hope for him is that he can be a contributor at some point in December. But hey, you have the 10-day break between Thanksgiving and against the Houston Texans. And hey, by the way, you still got the Houston Texans playbook. You got some tendencies. You know what they doing out there? Like, you know, I mean, he might be more helpful to you as like a scouter, as like a scout, an advanced scout. But hopefully we'll see him in uniform in December.
I hope you're right. I'm not holding my breath because this just feels like what the Chiefs have done over the years is they
bring Damian Pierce.
Yeah.
DMP.
Damian Pierce, Josh Uche. They bring in these guys and you're expecting them to do something with them. And then it never comes to fruition.
Right.
You mentioned earlier, Kareem Hunt, first 100-yard rusher the Chiefs have had this year. First 100-yard rusher for the Chiefs since Kareem Hunt last year. Isaiah Pacheco didn't even have a 100-yard rushing game last season.
Right.
No, it was Kareem Hunt twice. Also on Sunday, the Chiefs had their first 100-yard receiver in Rashee Rice,
yes,
who had 8 receiving yards in the first half and finished with 140. What changed? What happened in the second half of this football game that allowed for not only Rashee Rice, but the entire offense to figure it out?
It took the coaching staff longer than you would want, but it was clear that Lou Anarumo, the very good defensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts, said, I want anyone other than Travis Kelce to beat us. So they played a lot of man. As we all know, he dropped 8 in the coverage at times. And what was weird is that, like, I didn't know what kind of routes Rashee Rice was running in the first half. It was very strange for them to say, like, okay, well, we're going to do something simple, right? We're going to let everybody in the stadium know, hey, guys, our backs are against our own end zone. We're in shotgun. You know it's an RPO. But hey, it's an easy route for Rashee Rice. He's gonna be wide open on the slant. Oh, but the defensive end who we didn't block. Oh, he knew it was a read option too. Oh, it's really a run. It's really a pass option.
Yes.
So they try to get him involved early. And basically, they handed the Colts 7 points, and he would have had a touchdown. I can't remember if this was the first half or second half, but I think he would have had a touchdown if Mahomes placed the back shoulder throw a little bit better in the red zone. Once the Chiefs realized that the Colts were playing more man coverage with a little bit of a cloud sort of, you know, strategy to Travis Kelce, again, hey, please don't beat us, Travis Kelce. Like, please don't. And they started actually running more, you know, crossers, man-beating routes for Rashee Rice. He actually used his yak to great success. That was one of the biggest things that I thought was most interesting. And, of course, that 4th-and-3 play, which, again, kind of the season on the line, fourth quarter, got to get in field goal range at least. They run that play for Rashee Rice to beat man coverage with a little bit of a rub route on Travis Kelce. Congrats to him. Let's give Travis Kelce a nice golf clap. He also didn't take out Rashee Rice's shoulder. He's learned his lesson from Sao Paulo. It's like, oh yeah, because I was thinking about this. When was the last time we saw Travis Kelce run a crosser the opposite direction of a receiver?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, that's right. When Xavier Worthy's season was almost blown up on the third play. So Travis Kelce does a good job on his hesitation, sort of slowing down route. Sets up the rub, the pick, however you want to call it, for Rashee Rice. He makes a great catch, even though the ball wasn't, like, perfectly accurate. So I just thought, man, he finally got in rhythm with his quarterback in a gotta-have-it situation the first time this year because of the 6-game suspension, and now he has a hamstring.
Yeah.
So, by the way, don't need to see Rashee Rice today at practice. Don't really need to see you, bud. Like, stay in the treatment room forever and a day, and let's see you on Thursday. But at least it was a good process from the coaching staff to realize, hey, we can't rely on Kelce, so we got to start actually calling more plays to run away from coverage for Rashee Rice, for Xavier Worthy. And that's one of the reasons why they won the game. It's great to see, though, that for what the Chiefs were thinking Rashee Rice could be as a number one receiver, he at least showed it in the second half against a quality opponent in the Colts.
Yeah, against a really good set of corners with Sauce Gardner and Charvarius Ward, who have eventually, you know, left with an injury. I also thought it was kind of interesting. We've seen it all year long, and this dates back to the preseason and training camp, you know, the get your hamstrings ready. We're going to try to open things up and throw the deep ball more. It seemed like on Sunday against Indy, there was far less of an emphasis on they still threw a couple, the one to Tyquan Thornton that was a little bit deep down the field, but that was in the second half of the game. It wasn't early and often. It wasn't scripted into the first 15 plays necessarily. What did you make of that change in philosophy of not trying to maybe force the deep ball and keep the secondary honest a little bit more?
Yes. And especially against that defense too, because of the corners you just mentioned, like maybe it's not the best thing for us to try to go deep because you're also trying to protect the quarterback a little bit. Now, Indianapolis doesn't have like a great pass rush, but they're capable. It was fascinating to me that, again, I think someone said this on Twitter, and I wish I could give them credit. Maybe I can find it. But it was like, hey, to your point that they did not throw the deep ball was actually proof that they're in some cases, ladies and gentlemen, a small dosage, cyberbullying works. They bully. We as a community bullied your hometown team into, hey, maybe run the ball more.
Yeah.
Maybe get in under center, you know, maybe a little bit more play action. Try to beat them in the intermediate zone, not necessarily deep, which again, that worked in the second half. It just proves that like they are more than capable of being an offense that doesn't have to do it one specific way. Like it's really nice. It's really cool when you connect on a deep shot. But like we said earlier, Xavier Worthy is really banged up. So you're not getting the, you know, best possible scenario from him as a deep threat. Now when teams see Tyquan Thornton on the field, they immediately go, oh, he's running deep. And to your point, when they did try it, they're like, oh, there's two Colts because he's running deep. It's just like, all right, so maybe we should go away from our tendencies a little bit. So I just want to, you know, if you care about the Chiefs and you were vocal over the last 2 weeks about the offense not being as cohesive or not as well thought out as it should be, you deserve congratulations because you kind of cyberbullied Andy Reid and Matt Nagy to do something differently. And, hey, they even got Noah Gray more involved. Now, it's unfortunate because of the concussion, but it's like, yeah, when has Noah Gray not been someone that you could have relied on all season alongside Travis Kelce when you know he's getting more of the attention? So it makes sense. And Patrick Mahomes sort of dumped the ball off more to Kareem Hunt in the flats, same with Breshard Smith. So there are other answers if teams expect you to go deep. Well, the flats are open. The middle of the field is open. Like, hey, maybe you can do some of these change of direction pop passes too in the red zone. So give them credit. It's unfortunate that their most creative play design led to a sort of a phantom face mask penalty that took 7 points off the board. And you're like, but they did a much better job of having more answers than what they had shown over the last two games against the Broncos and the Bills.
And I'm sure that that touchdown off the board from Travis Kelce absolutely broke the heart of Bob Fesco.
Oh,
because that man in his weekly Travis Kelce anytime touchdown bet was the highest of highs to immediately the lowest of lows. But, you know, talking about getting Noah Gray more involved, I thought it was really interesting. It was in the second half of the game, might have been early fourth quarter. They ran sort of, I don't know if it was a wheel route or kind of an out and up for Noah Gray down the sideline. And of course, you know, ball hits him in the hands. And, and when you watch it initially, you're like, oh my God, he's got to catch that football. But you sort of see the angle he was at. DB was in his way. He didn't see the football till it was right there. I found that fascinating because that is a quintessential textbook Travis Kelce route.
Yes.
That they drew up specifically for Noah Gray in that situation. Yes. And it was executed almost to perfection. DB was just in the way. Noah Gray couldn't see the football. What do you make of that decision to run him in a situation like that? And does it go back to the way that the Colts were defending Travis all game and that it wasn't going to work?
Correct. Again, Lou Anarumo has been doing this long enough. Again, he was the former defensive coordinator for the Bengals. By the way, the Bengals stink on defense. Uh-huh. And now he's the defensive coordinator for the Colts. And the Colts are, you know, competent. I'm sorry, Drew.
Like, yeah,
they're so bad. Drew, they are so bad.
They are.
I mean, when I say they are so bad, it's the Bengals defense. It is literally, I mean, Justin Fields played well against you guys. Drew, just, what do we do, man? Fire everybody. Just.
Well, it needs to start with the GM because the first three draft picks, Nate.
They are so bad.
There are three rookies. The worst three rookies this season were the Bengals' first round pick, the Bengals' second round pick, and the Bengals' third round pick.
Reclamation projects, man. They're drafting projects out here.
Yeah, long term development.
Ja'Marr Chase still has more tackles than Shamar Stewart does this season.
Oh my God.
Okay, so again, you know what? Loretta Rubo was like, you know what? I'm not going to let Travis Kelce beat me.
Big Lou is happy to be in Indy. Yes.
Yeah,
I'm so happy.
Yeah, because again, he has competent players. He has a good secondary again, which he used to have in Cincinnati. So he can mix and match sort of coverages. But again, they really dedicated about two defenders just about every time the Colts expected a pass from the Chiefs in a, you know, sort of down and distance situation. So yeah, it was nice to use Noah Gray on multiple targets, not just like, hey, just give him one just to just say we did it. To actually involve him more in the offense. You know, I know somebody on the text line asked about Jared Wiley. We have not seen Jared Wiley all year. I think Robert Tonyan would still be the next guy on the depth chart. But, hey, at least Jared Wiley will be available to be, like, in uniform, active, because Noah Gray will still be in the concussion protocol by Thursday. So, I mean, when you look at the way that they distributed their targets, right, based on down assistance, based on situation – Travis Kelce only got six targets. So that meant you had to give more targets to Breshard Smith, Kareem Hunt, Noah Gray. I mean, Noah Gray got four targets, you know, and again, did well on them. Three receptions for 25 yards. You know, there's, I mean, they threw the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire twice. I mean, yeah. This was something. You know, I think the other good play, now that I'm looking at the box score, the other good play they did, their two best plays in the red zone should have resulted in 14 points. It was obviously the sort of full house backfield, you know, read it out, but obviously it's like, it's Travis Kelce's keeping the ball. He should score a touchdown. It is a touchdown, and they take it away because of the penalty on Jawan Taylor, the sort of phantom face mask. And then they drew up a really nice, like, hey, guys, we're running. Oh, no, there's Juju Smith-Schuster. And the ball was just out of his reach as Juju had to dive. I think Patrick faced a little bit of pressure because Lou Anarumo actually blitzed on that play. So when the Colts blitzed, okay, we have Xavier Worthy, we have Rashee Rice. When the Chiefs knew that the Colts were in zone, that's when you saw more diversity with the running backs and the tight ends.
I'm going to ask you really quickly before we hit the break, with Noah Gray obviously not going to play on Thursday, the expectation, yeah, you activate Jared Wiley, but like you said, we haven't seen him all year.
Right.
Should we expect less 13 personnel then coming up on Thursday?
I would. Now, some of this is relying on, again, C-3PO to be fully functional on Thursday. That is, of course, Xavier Worthy. Is it back together now? And then with Rashee Rice's hamstring, again, if both of those guys play and they are available to you, then, yeah, you should probably use more 12 personnel than 13 personnel. In a weird way, a lot of teams are trying to do 13 personnel, and it has not gone great for the Chiefs. Now, you would do that because you want that third linebacker on the field to sort of dictate matchups and coverages and things of that nature. But because the Chiefs are the Chiefs, most teams are like, we don't care.
Yeah.
Nickel. Like, we don't care. Please run the ball. We don't care. You're not going to run the ball. Even with three tight ends out on the field, you're not going to run the ball. So, again, at least the Chiefs were a little bit more balanced on Sunday. But they should probably do more 12 personnel because, in a weird way, and I know there's nothing better than the this kind of goes to our point. There's nothing better than the, all right, Tracy, let's go down to the field. What did the Chiefs tell you this week? They're like, oh, Jim, Tony, you're going to see a lot of Tyquan Thornton today, guys.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, they lied to Tracy Wilson.
To her face.
They lied to her. Now, if you play more, again, 12 personnel, hey, maybe you could get Tyquan on the field more often than not. So they still have Hollywood. They still have Juju. They still have Tyquan. You should probably lean more 12 personnel, maybe even more 11 personnel against the Cowboys, because if you look at the Cowboys' defense, they do not have a good secondary. So the more DBs you can actually put on the field, that may give you an advantage.
913-586-7965. That's the number for the text line. Cody and Gold here. Logan Weber filling in for Cody and Alex. Drew Nixon around producing. We've got Nate Taylor in studio. More coming up next here on 96.5.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
The Fan. Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. No Cody, no Alex for today's program. Logan Weber in here with you for the next couple of hours. Drew Nixon behind the glass producing, doing a great job as always. We've got Nate Taylor, ESPN beat writer for the Kansas City Chiefs, in studio with us now. And Nate, we talked a lot about the offense in the first part of the show here. I kind of want to go back to the defensive side of the football, because that game on Sunday felt like vintage Steve Spagnuolo, especially in that second half. I remember lots of conversations in the press box on Sunday of, why aren't they blitzing? Like, why aren't they trying to speed up Daniel Jones and his process? And then the second half of the football game hits, especially that fourth quarter in overtime, and that's exactly what they did. What do you make of the defense's performance and what Spags dialed up that led to, what was it, 7-8 consecutive three and outs that the Colts had in the second half of that game?
It felt like this was their last great stand, to where they had to give the offense another opportunity. And I appreciate that Patrick said that so much in his post-game presser. What was strange was that Daniel Jones was only passing short passes. The Colts did not like spread it or air it out. They were in a lot of two tight end sets as well. They were trying to sort of nickel and dime the Chiefs down the field. Now, it helps when you have Jonathan Taylor, because so much of the focus has to be on the running game. But once the Chiefs felt like, okay, we got to get the ball back sooner rather than later. And again, I put this on Twitter during the game. The Chiefs are, under Steve Spagnuolo, not a unit that is looking to take the football away. They are not a unit that sort of says, hey, let's just get turnovers in bunches. They are more sort of sound, disciplined, and again, trying to be the aggressor. So Chris Jones plays amazing. That's the first thing, is that, like, hey, the Kareem Hunt fumble happens. The very next play, Chris Jones just destroys the Colts' plan. All right, so now you're in second and 12. Again, your back's in your own end zone. And so now Steve Spagnuolo can get aggressive. You can blitz off the edge with Chamari Connor. And now Daniel Jones does feel sped up with the crowd involved. And it was like an avalanche at that point. Because once it became clear that, hey, they got a three and out, even though you turn the ball over in the red zone, the Chiefs get the ball, decent field position, go right down, score a touchdown. Okay, now it's on. All right, now there's about 8 minutes left in the game. Let's see it, Daniel Jones. Like, let's see you lead your team to a road victory when the crowd is, you know, very hostile. Chris Jones is on a heater at the moment. And now Steve Spagnuolo is going to ask you the questions. Do you have the answers to the test? Because we're going to blitz. And they did zero pressure. They did coming off the nickel spot. They did a couple of zone pressures that I thought were very interesting too. And then when you tackle well, it puts all the pressure on the quarterback. Hey, as much as I love Shane Steichen, he probably should have handed the ball to Jonathan Taylor a couple of times just to take time off the clock. Instead, he saw that the Chiefs were not worried about the deep pass. And so it's like, hey, can we find the hot read for Daniel Jones? He could not. He was not accurate. And it was amazing to see that, like, oh, yeah, when you had to get stops, the Chiefs, like, resorted to, like, who they are. Like, that is their identity. And I don't, you know, if you're a Chiefs fan, you do not want them to forget that at any point, right? Like, moving forward, I don't care what the metrics say. I don't care who the other quarterback is. Make him feel the pressure of, I got to get the ball out sooner than I want. I got to go through my reads faster than I want. And with the majority of these games being in Arrowhead moving forward, use the crowd to your advantage. If Chris Jones can maintain what he did on Sunday, now it's asking a lot for him to do it, you know, 2 games in 5 days, but that's the job. So if he continues to play really, really well in the second half of the season, then Spags can call these blitzes, and at least you know the secondary is not terrible, right? Like, Jalen Watson's in position when that pass gets thrown on third down, and it's like, yeah, you're not getting there because he's man-to-man coverage. You know what Trent McDuffie's going to give you. Jaden Hicks was on the field a little bit more in the second half. I thought that was important. I know people have asked about Noel Williams. I don't know, guys. It's clear that, like, Steve Spagnuolo tried Christian Fulton, didn't work, so he went right back to Christian Roland Wallace. And so I guess if I looked at the depth chart right now, Christian Roland Wallace is ahead of Noel Williams. Okay. I mean, Christian Roland Wallace has been in the system longer, sure. But, you know, he didn't have too many bad snaps. And I thought Brian Cook was awesome in the fourth quarter, awesome in overtime, not letting anything get behind the Chiefs defense, but, you know, making a really good pass breakup on Michael Pittman Jr., who is, you know, the Colts possession receiver, right? Alex Pierce is the guy who's supposed to sort of stretch them out vertically or help them, you know, get a vertical game. So it was clear that, like, Steve Spagnuolo knew if we blitz, he's probably going to go to Michael Pittman Jr. We have that answer based on our DBs understanding the personnel groupings. And if we blitz, then maybe you have to keep Tyler Warren in for protection purposes versus him going for a route. It was a masterful job. And I don't think the Chiefs have ever had a game of importance where they got 4 straight 3-and-outs to end the game. I mean, that's basically pitching a shutout from the fourth quarter on.
Yeah, and it was particularly impressive for me watching, you know, because coming into the game, the conversation was, how do you slow down Jonathan Taylor and how do you limit the tight ends? Because when the Chiefs defense is at their worst, it's typically those two things, right? The Bills game, watching Dalton Kincaid go off and have the kind of day he did with James Cook rushing for 100 yards. Oof. Those two guys, Jonathan Taylor and Tyler Warren, who have been phenomenal this year, combined for barely 100 yards between the two of them.
Yes.
What do you make of that performance, especially the Jonathan Taylor thing? Like, I know that the Colts seemingly forgot that he was in the backfield in the second half of this game, but I mean, he had, outside of that big 27-yard run that he had, he was averaging less than 2 yards a carry, if you take that one away, and only had 3 missed tackles the entirety of the game, which he's been the best in the league at this year.
Right. That's a great point that you mentioned, Logan. Like, because he was not breaking tackles and there was only one chunk yardage gain, that may have played into the mind of Shane Steichen, where it's like, it's so clear that the Chiefs are A, tackling well, that they're sending 8 men in the box and basically saying, hey, go beat man-to-man coverage. So how much can I trust my running back unless it's, you know, an early down run or a short yardage situation for him to get yards? So I thought Leo Chenault was excellent in the running game. You know, when Nick Bolton hits you, you're probably going to go down. Drew Tranquil had one of his best games of the season in getting that stop on 3rd and short in overtime. So part of it is like, hey, don't tell Shane Steichen that Jonathan Taylor's still his best player. But also, it's really nice when you do limit a talented running back through the first 3 quarters to where maybe the coaching staff looks at the, you know, the stats and says, maybe he doesn't have it today. Maybe, maybe our scheme isn't really working as well. And so it sort of psychologically backs the other coaching staff into a corner. Even though I want to remind everybody, the Colts never trailed in regulation. Never. They always had the lead. Crazy.
Yeah.
And they still chose not to run Jonathan Taylor. And again, sometimes you can galaxy brain this because it's like, hey, here's what the stats say. And if our quarterback can make the throws against the blitz, then hey, we'll convert. And yes, that's the case. But Daniel Jones is not as good as Jonathan Taylor is at his job. So by being successful in the first half, it really set them up to be more aggressive in the fourth quarter because they knew they had to get stops and get stops quickly. And so I don't know what the Cowboys will do other than trying to just get the ball to their two receivers. Maybe they could use Ferguson a little bit more. To your point, Logan, about, hey, the Chiefs have struggled, especially in play action with tight ends involved. We saw that a ton against the Buffalo Bills. So maybe the Cowboys, maybe that's their best sort of wrinkle, you know, curveball that they could throw the Chiefs. The Cowboys don't have as strong of a running game as the Colts, but if the Chiefs do as good of a job against the run, then it will put all the pressure back on Dak Prescott, and we'll see if he can find the answers or just be more productive than Daniel Jones. That is ultimately where this team has to thrive, is getting to third down, and if you're not going to show blitz in the first half, okay, here's our best blitzes in the second half based on everything you've shown us throughout the course of the game.
And that's exactly where I wanted to go next. Go ahead, Drew.
Nate, so I have a question just about like this. We talked about yesterday the importance of it feeling like the Chiefs needed a win this way, like the way that they won on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that you like maybe at the end of the year in January when we get to the final week or two of the season, if they make the postseason, we look at this game and this little stretch here where they lose to Denver in the way that they do, and then they find a way to win a close game as the turning point in, hey, they figured it out and they turned it around at this moment in late in that second half where the offense clicked and all of a sudden it just took off.
That's the hope. And again, I never love a team that has to feel like they can just turn the switch on, especially when the team is as veteran laden as this team, right? Nobody is really in their prime out of the core group, except for Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I think to your point, Drew, like if they can win on Thursday, then they get that 10-day break and you are at home the next two games and you start going on a winning streak, then, yeah, that could be the turning point. I know we're all good friends of Nick Wright, and I know he has this whole thing about the tackle that turned the tide, which is hilarious because – things were a little dicey there in the Meadowlands in week, but that's week three. Like, you still don't really know who your team is or exactly how the season's going to go. But now we are getting into nitty-gritty time, and they did need a win that proved to them that when the game's on the line, they can make the winning plays, because every time before Sunday, they did not make the winning plays. I think it's really instructional for the coaching staff, too, that they have to do whatever is necessary to win on that day, that's how they have to coach now for the rest of the season. Like, you can't really start, well, we'll do this to set this up, and we just maybe want to tinker with that, and maybe we experiment with this, and, ooh, what about this personnel group or this lineup? No. What can win today? With the players you have, against the opposition you're going against, where can we find the answers, and how quickly can we get to them, and can our players execute in high-leverage moments? That win needs to be the thing that gets the Chiefs into the postseason, because once the Kareem Hunt fumble happened, I think it's understandable for everybody to be like, is this just the season where everything goes bad? You know, everything, even Kareem Hunt fumbles, who never fumbles the ball. So they had to get that win on Sunday, but I am of the belief that you got to back it up. Sunday's game will not matter if you cannot, in front of everybody. There will be no other football game on. Everybody will be watching. If you can't back it up against the Cowboys, man, you just made things just as difficult, just as dicey as it was before kickoff against the Colts. So the hope is they need that win to sort of reaffirm themselves that they are a championship caliber team. And if thankfully they stay healthy, they have the chance to go on a run. And that's what playoff Super Bowl contending teams do. They get better as the course of the season goes along, and it would be no better time for the Chiefs to actually get better in the season than right after, you know, right before Thanksgiving, right at the turn of December.
And this is going to be an interesting game on Thursday, because I think it's fair to say over the last month, the Chiefs defense has been the better of the two units.
Yes.
And they're matched up with the league's best offense in terms of total yardage in the mm-hmm. Dallas Cowboys against the Chiefs. And their offense that has been sputtering for the better part of a month, going up against the league's 31st best defense, right? They're the second worst defense in the National Football League. Sorry, Drew. And I'm curious how you see this matchup playing out. You know, this Cowboys team, especially in the passing game, is really, really bad defensively.
Yes.
But the Chiefs have kind of feel like they've been grasping at straws, especially now you consider injuries to both Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy.
Yeah. There's potential for this game to be a shootout because these quarterbacks are so talented about getting chunk plays when necessary, rallying their teams when necessary. You know, that was one of the biggest questions about Sunday's game is, wow, they're down 11 points. And, like, do I have a ton of confidence in them coming back from a double-digit deficit? Let's see. Now, thankfully, they did it. But, you know, who will Trent McDuffie go against more? Will it be George Pickens? Will it be CeeDee Lamb? That'll be fascinating. Who do you double more often? Do you show that pre-snap just to say, hey, please don't throw it over here. We'll take our chances with this guy. Again, Ferguson is the one that I would circle most for the Cowboys. Now, look, the Chiefs still need to run the ball. But if you were ever going to have a game where if you just double-team Quentin Williams at all times, if there was ever a hell, triple-team him, I don't even care, all three interior linemen, go to that guy. If you find a way to mitigate Quentin Williams in the interior, okay, you can pass the ball all day. Like, I'll get it. Okay, hey, Kareem Hunt had 30 carries. Isaiah Pacheco's just coming back from injury. If you want to sling that thing, I kind of rock with you because, dog, look at the tape.
Yeah, they're 30. I mean, I think they're like third worst passing defense in the National Football League. It's horrendous. It's like 250 a game.
And again, you want to get more DBs on the field against them versus what we saw in Buffalo or hey, Denver's got like four really good DBs. We don't want to have more DBs on the field. We actually want to remove them off the field. Same way with the Colts. So you might actually want to spread it out a little bit more. You're going to be in climate control conditions. Patrick Mahomes historically plays really, really well in the dome. Hey, just don't have a back-breaking turnover to start the game where you hand the other team 7 points.
Yeah.
Like, hey, how about you not do that on Thursday? How about you get off to a fast start? That's been one of their underlining biggest issues, Logan, is they do not score points in the first quarter. It's appalling. They had 0 points in the first quarter against the Colts and won the game. You know, if I go through the box score right now, they had 3 points against the Broncos. Hey, okay, how'd it go against the Bills? 0 points in the first half. Or in the first quarter. They had 0 points in the first quarter against the Commanders. Now, the Raiders are – that was a preseason game. Let's move on. they had 6 points against the Lions. That's the last time they've had more than 3 points in the first quarter. Like, come on. You're setting yourselves up for two – like, why are you making the task more difficult than it needs to be? So, you know – tell your friends, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get back to cyberbullying the Chiefs, the last time they scored legitimate, like a touchdown against a legitimate opponent, not the Las Vegas Raiders, was October 12th against the Detroit Lions. They get off to terrible starts. So if the Chiefs just don't shoot themselves in the foot, they can really start to dictate this game because of your point, Logan. The Cowboys are there to be had. In particular, if you get a lead and then you can have all of your playbook available to you to where you're not just sort of having to drop back because you're in such a disadvantage on the scoreboard.
Yeah, somebody in the text line mentioned, you know, how about the special teams putting the offense in bad spots? And that's true. That's been a problem.
Hey, take Nico off the field. Take him off the field. I'm dead serious. And that is no disrespect to Nico Remigio. He is a great story. He's actually a better returner than I think people realize. That is because the unit is that bad.
Yeah.
Every good return, by the way, every good return he's had over the last 2 months.
Call back.
Sorry, guys. We got to call this one back. Yeah. Another hold. They had a block in the back on a punt.
Yeah.
How? What are you doing?
Yeah, it's not great.
And it forces Nico into like this. By the way, you're not Dante Hall. So I don't ever want to see you catch a punt inside the 10-yard line ever again.
Or catch it with a guy literally half a yard away from you.
But because Nico doesn't play offensive snaps and because his job is to be the punt returner, he's trying so hard to make something happen. Like, I gotta give our guys a spark. I gotta give us better field position. I gotta do da 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 da. No. Take him off the field, play 10 on 11, punt the ball. We'll take it wherever the ball lands.
Yeah.
Like, because guess what? No penalties. You're not gonna be in a worse sort of position to start the drive. Like, I really truly mean this. Because Nico's trying too hard, which is totally normal. He's a human being. He wants to be a reason why the team wins and not why the team loses. The other 10 dudes ain't giving you a shot.
Yeah.
So stop it. Yeah, hell, you might as well say we rushing all 11 against the punter.
Why not?
And just see if he shakes it.
Yeah.
You would get better field position than what you're getting already.
And punters in the league have gotten so good that, like, yeah, catch the ball at the 10-yard line and do nothing with it, or he's going to punt it at the 10, it's going to land at the 10. It really doesn't have a great impact. And the number of times that he's fielded a punt, like, inside the 5-yard line
and again,
has been insane.
And look, man, you're talented. You made the team. He had really good returns in the postseason last season, guys. So those are against quality opponents. You ain't Dante Hall, dog. No one's Dante Hall. Come on, man. Like,
it's just not happening this year.
It's just not happening. So for a quick review of Sunday's game, they got possession at the 30, because that was based on a touchdown. hold on, let me go. No. I'm looking at the wrong game. Sorry. Here we go, kids. This is where the Chiefs' drive started against the Indianapolis Colts. Possession began at the 4, 26, 22, 15, 29, 20, 28. Oh, my goodness. It took until the, third, fourth quarter for you to get the ball at your own 44-yard line. Logan, they never started. They started how many drives? 7 consecutive possessions to start the game. None of them began at their own 30-yard line. Take him off the field. It won't get worse.
Exactly. That's Nate Taylor, Chiefs beat writer for ESPN. Nate, really appreciate you joining us. Coming up, we're going to have Ross Tucker. He is our Odyssey NFL insider. Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, Logan Weber alongside producer for today's program, of course, Drew Nixon, 96.5 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.